Hello once again, this is Cyril Stevens in Christmas Valley, and I'm bringing to you some thoughts around Christmas. And I wish you all a very happy Christmas, and a Christmas that you will remember for the rest of your lives in its specialty and its beauty and in all the things that you're able to achieve. Our family is scattered pretty well abroad, but they are all gathering together to do what they can to finish and to enjoy what they can do. It looks good. It looks as if we might even see some of them. Now, I would like to remind you of two wonderful carols that we really don't sing very often. And I would like to bring this to you because it means so much. Here is one hymn that we used to sing as a carol. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming the royal decree, but the lowly birth camest thou, Lord, on earth, and in great humility. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. The foxes found rest and the birds their nest in the shade of the cedar tree, but thy couch was the sod, O thou Son of God, in the deserts of Galilee. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Thou camest, O Lord, with the living word that should set thy people free, but with mocking scorn and with crown of thorn, they bear thee to Calvary. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus. Thy cross is my only plea. When heaven's arches ring and their choir shall sing at thy coming to victory, let thy voice call me home, saying, yet there is room. There is room at my side for thee. And my heart shall rejoice, Lord Jesus, when thou comest and callest for me. That's a real challenging, beautiful piece of poetry. And we used to sing that with great gusto. Beautiful hymn. But here is another. While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down and glory shone around. Fear not, said he, for mighty dread had seized their troubled mind. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind. To you in David's town this day is born, of David's line, a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign, the heavenly babe you there shall find to human view displayed, all meanly wrapped in swaddling bands and in a manger lay. Thus spake the seraph, and forthwith appeared a shining throng of angels praising God, who thus address their joyful song. All glory be to God on high, and to the earth be peace, goodwill henceforth from heaven to men, begin and never cease. We don't sing these old hymns for some reason that I have no idea what it is, but we miss the blessing. When our children were young and they were told to do something or asked to accomplish something, and they didn't do it, I would say to them, you know, you've missed the blessing. Now, this became quite a carol of their own, and they would say, oops, we missed the blessing. And as they got older, they would often chide me of saying they missed the blessing, but they did miss the blessing, and we have missed this blessing by not remembering Jesus as it is written of him in the Word of God. Now I take you into Luke and chapter 2, and I want to share with you some of the thoughts that I have about this piece of scripture, because it's violent and wonderful. It's so precious to those of us that love the Lord Jesus. But we find that the taxing was done, Jesus was born, Jesus was laid in the manger, and the angels sang in the portals of heaven, and the wise men brought their wonderful gifts. And it's my suspicion that Jesus was kept, at least Joseph had enough money. They gave them gold, and he had enough money to pay for all that they wanted to do. Well, now, we find these words in the second chapter and in the 8th verse. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from the shepherds into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Now, here is something absolutely remarkable. Last time we were together, we looked at the light, the brightness of the presence of Jesus and the heavens, how the heavens shone with the glory of God, and that glory shone and showed Jesus to all who would see it. And it was a wonderful thing that happened, just absolutely wonderful. And so we have this terrific thing happening also with the shepherds. Now, the wise men had traveled a long distance from the east, and they had found Jesus in the same position that the shepherds found him in. Jesus was the Savior, and they learned it, and they knew it, and they told it. And so we find ourselves in a wonderful place where the Lord Jesus is a blessing to everyone who come to him. Now notice, the shepherds said, well, let's go and see this thing that God's revealed to us. And it may be that in your lifetime, God has revealed himself to you. It may well be that he has revealed himself to you in such a way that you have received him as your Savior and your Lord, and you are worshiping him today, and you're on your way to church to worship him some more. But it may be also that you have heard the voice singing, and you've heard what has been said. You know him as your Savior and Lord, and you've come to know him, and it's very beautiful. However, it may also be that you've heard and you've turned your back on him, and no longer do you sing the carols of the past. No longer does the word of God vibrate within your own mind and heart. No longer are you listening to him and paying him homage and being blessed of him. I want to bring you to a sharp realization that your need of Jesus is more colossal today than at any time in the history of man. We are told that in the last days, dreadful things are going to happen. And we believe, some of us at least, that we're very likely in those last days, and we are seeing some horrendous things happening. People are being murdered. And Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars. Russia is threatening war. The ISIS people are threatening war. Some of our politicians are saying that we ought to go to war. Some of these things that Jesus prophesied are becoming a reality, and we need to be ready. Now Jesus reveals himself. Who can be offended at a baby? Jesus was a baby just as you were. And he was born into this world just as you were. And he grew up as a child just as you did. And he was tempted in all ways like you are, yet he was somehow remarkably kept from sin. And it's a wonderful thing that the Lord Jesus grew up for 30 or 33 years, and in that time he told people so much. We've discovered a lot of what he said, and we've been able to apply it to our lives, but there's much more to discover in this Lord Jesus Christ, and that is perhaps gained by us taking time out and remembering that Christmas is not just a time for high jinks and lots of eating and drinking and lots of carousing and lots of things that we normally would not do, but instead it is a time when we go to the place where we worship. And we lift up our hearts to God the Father, and we cry out, O God the Father who art in heaven, hallowed, reverent be your name. Your kingdom come in this earth, just as it is in heaven. Now, mostly we cry out and say, oh, give us our daily bread. But it's time to start realizing that God wants us to call upon his name, to be titled into that fellowship with him, that is beyond the essence of man's thinking. So rejoice with me, and rejoice with Jesus, rejoice with angels, rejoice with the seraphim and the cherubim, and sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Sing, and sing these wonderful carols that we have sort of excluded doing and have given them over to choirs, because choirs just are massive and marvelous. They are, but these hymns were written for us to sing, to express our hearts. Oh, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and Jesus will come. You may ask, you may cry out, you may say, oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today and come in and stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and he will come. I don't know what your experience with God is, but I know this, that all of our experiences with God the Father and God the Son are precious experiences. My children were gathered and they were talking and they were saying to me, how is it that you have gone through so many things? During the war, you were bombed and your parents' house was bombed to smithereens 3 times. And yet, not one of us in the family were damaged. Not even a scratch. Isn't that wonderful? And then, jokingly and but with point, different ones pointed out that they were with me when I crashed a car, or when I fell off the horse, or when I crashed the motorcycle, or and all these different things I've done. And they said, and yet, you're not damaged to the point that you should be a cripple for life. Well, those crippling days are beginning to show. But it is wonderful that God has worked in my life, and he will work in yours. He will keep you from falling. He will keep you in the presence of the Lord Jesus. He will give you cleanliness of life, cleanliness of thought. He will give you cleanliness of living. And the Lord Jesus blesses us with all the power that he gives and we receive as grace. God is concerned with you and loves you mightily. Now come to him, and let this Christmas be a Christmas when you adore him. Oh, come, says the old carol, let us adore him. We have to come and bring our hearts just as they are, all messy and horrid, with sin that's impeded our time on earth a great deal, and we don't deserve the grace of God. We don't deserve the mercy of God. We don't deserve the redemption of God. Yet in Jesus, all these things are found, and all these things are our precious gift from God the Father. I'm worried to think I haven't bought anything for the family yet, and I haven't bought anything for my wife, and I don't know where to start. How do you go out and buy things, and why do we spend so much money? This has become a lunatic society for spending money and wasting money on all sorts of silly things. Don't let Christmas be a thing that is just of no consequence. Don't cheapen it. A pair of socks, a tie, some clothing perhaps, and we think we've done rather well in being so generous to our relatives, and we have remembered the time when Jesus gave his life. Now, here is something to think about. Jesus said, I want you to know that a man gives his life, and he may even give it for a friend. But his life was given so that you and I could live eternally with God the Father. These shepherds were not poor, but they weren't rich. They saw this great light, this beaming collection of choirs, and they heard the instruments playing, and they saw the brilliance in the middle of the night. Now, God reveals himself to those he wants to reveal himself to. And he knew you before the foundation of the world. And he wants you and I to come to him. And the desire of the Father is toward the Son, that he may bless the Son with this collection of people who will repent and believe the gospel and share in his love. So, as you look at Christmas this year, I challenge you, make sure your heart is right with God. I challenge you that you're not divorced from prayer, and because of a lack of understanding, maybe, of prayer, you're not pushed to one side. God says, come to me. Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, come unto me. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And when Jesus said that, it encompassed every man and woman on this planet. And we are to come. We are to cast our crowns, our achievements, in other words, before him, and recognize that he has given us blessings supernal, and those blessings are always with us. I want you to know that much prayer goes into these programs, so that somehow, through all the things that take place in a week, somehow we may reach into your heart and open the pocket of your soul and allow the blessing of God Almighty to be released inside of you. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in to my heart. Come in today. Come in and stay. Come. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. We need to be saying that. We need to be thinking that. And I'm quite sure that some of you will have terrible things to recite about this Christmas. This is the first Christmas after you've been widowed. This is the first Christmas after you've been divorced. This is the first Christmas after you've lost a dear one. And, oh, so many things. Maybe this is the first Christmas that you'll spend having been told you'll not make it through the end of Christmas Day. I have such a friend right now who is experiencing that. And I want to say to all of you, God so loves you that he gave his only begotten Son for you, that whoever believed in him would never perish, but have everlasting life. And notice, the word is everlasting life. Now you've received the Lord Jesus, I hope, and you have this everlasting life. Now just take a glimpse at it. Is there anything there that would blemish that life? Is there any hardness of heart? Is there any part of you that is deployed and resentful to God because of what has happened to you? Get rid of it, repent of it, and turn your attention to the fact that if you will come to me, said Jesus, I'll never turn you away. Never is the word. And I thank God for that. For my sins are constantly before me, says the psalmist. I know my sinful life, and I come to you, Lord, says that same man. I come just as I am, with all the sin piled up in my life. And I ask you, wash me, that I may be white like snow, and create within me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. And that's where we should be praying. So on your knees, lift up your heart, and God will bless you. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we ask for the nearness of your blessing and the beauty of your holiness. Stay close to us this Christmas time, and with all the things that would cause us to turn aside and go a different way, take all those blemishes, all that wretchedness away from us, that we may put our hearts right with you, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Wishing you a very happy Christmas. God be with you. Goodbye.